We have had some technical problems.
We are live. It's the Naughty Show, Playboy Radio. I wish we had the Jeffersons music. Moving on up. And when the bunny calls,
yeah,
you answer.
You don't run from the bunny.
This is the Naughty Show. Here's Sam, Gareth, and Vicky.
You dig it? Oh, I'm out of breath. 10:02 in the peas, everybody.
Ooh, held out for it.
Oh, God, you gotta. Sam Tripoli, number 420, starting power benchman for the Los Angeles Clippers, walking in after a first half of urinating. Sammy, how'd you feel about your performance in the bathroom there?
You know, I really felt we game planned correctly. We really got in there.
Now, Sam,
we leaked. We saw a hole. We hit it. You know, at the end of the day, it just like it's a game plan.
You started off a little cold from the field. You missed
saying
the toilet.
I had a weak link. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you missed the toilet up top, but towards the end, then it looked like you were just shooting a frisbee through a whale's mouth. Am I wrong?
But the key is not to get in your own head. That's the key. Don't get in your head when you're pissing. Just pee.
Sam Tripoli.
It's the dream.
Wise words.
What's new? Very excited about being here. Very excited about the weeks that are coming up.
Yeah, there's some good weeks.
Yeah,
right?
September's jam-packed.
Next week we got Tom Likas is coming in.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And then after that we got a really great band, which I want to start featuring bands on this show, up and coming bands. And if you got a band you like, send us a link. If we can get them in the studio, we'll feature them. We're gonna have Beware of Darkness coming in.
All right.
These guys shred.
Yeah.
They shred. This whole room is just going to be banned, just shredding. We're going to be like, oh, front row. I'm going to start throwing elbows. I'm probably going to mosh Vicky.
What the fuck? Don't leave Vicky's face out of this, Sam.
No.
She just got a lip ring.
I know. It's healing.
It's brand
new. It's healing.
It's just scabbing.
And no offense, but since I've had this lip ring so long, who do you really think could handle themselves better in a mosh pit, Sam? You or me?
Let's be honest.
Oh, boy.
Let's be honest.
Hard-hitting questions, 10:04.
I think I've had more mohawks than him, too.
Sapphire, last episode, did you get angry at me making fun of the sound problems? Were you upset about that?
Hell no.
We can't. It's all love.
Just turn the monitor on.
I can hear myself.
In the room.
No, I got nothing.
I got nothing either.
It's not in the headphones. It's in the monitor in the room.
What's the monitor?
We're monitoring the room.
I don't have a monitor in my room.
You know those black lesbians?
I don't have a monitor in my room.
They're too busy hitting on white bitches.
All right, Sammy. Getting a little racy here.
Black lesbians hitting on...
Yeah, this was... I heard you.
Getting some adjustments in the booth, ladies
and
gentlemen.
So a lot of great stuff. Rumor is Big Three might be coming in.
Yes, I
talked to him last night.
What?
I talked to Don last night.
Did he say he could do the date I gave him?
Yes.
Whoa!
That's big news.
Breaking news. We just had Clipcast on, which is one of my favorite podcasts I listen to, but now we're going to have Gareth Reynolds' favorite podcast.
Big Three.
The Big Three coming in. Can you believe it?
Can you dig it? That's big news. I'm excited for that.
I have a plan. I know what I want to do.
I don't want to eat Sam, you of all people.
Did you just call Shazam? Silent
I
Sam?
I thought
Shazam.
You were a genie. Get off my back. I thought the light hit you and I thought you were a fucking genie.
You're all basketballed up.
Yeah.
Chris Wilde left his beer in there. Look at that. Is there any beer left?
He's
like, dude, clean up my mess. I work for Disney.
Oh, boy.
At Disney, we don't clean up our own thing. We got little African children.
Two full waters, though.
Yeah. Well, obviously, he's a reverse alcoholic.
There's water in beer.
He obviously doesn't drink water anymore. He's probably had a problem with it.
There's water in beer.
Strictly doing. Do we have a situation? What happened? Is it that time of the month?
Oh, my God.
Vicky, is it that time of the month?
Let's definitely keep talking about things that none of the listeners can see.
Well, let's keep addressing it.
Well, if we've been doing it so far, let's keep
Why
it up.
Why stop now?
Why stop? Can't stop. Won't stop.
We should say a what's up, too, because some of the listeners came out and visited. I watched a Packer game with Yuck Nasty and Doug Baba, and I drank a tremendous... And Ray Taylor and Jill Himitsu stopped by. And just wanted to say
well, you know,
to them.
I'm a big fan of all that. Unfortunately, we could not get them in studio due to the fact that the powers that be above me didn't want that many people in the studio.
So just a shout out to them and the Green Bay Packers.
No, we're not shouting out Green Bay Packers.
Come on!
We're shouting out to the L.A. Raiders.
What?
Oakland Raiders.
Oh, Christ.
For life.
Well, or until they move.
Oh, big news. Naughty Show is going to be at the Hard Rock Casino for the AVN Awards.
Oh, boy.
We're going to be doing Thursday night. Maybe if Playboy wants to send out, I know, a radio show during the AVNs, we are going to be out there anyways.
Oh.
When is that? Is that something
January.
I'm coming to?
Well, you might be working with Steve Byrne.
I'm not.
We don't want to cramp that style.
Stop it, Sam. Don't you be jealous like that.
I get so jealous. I think Roy Wood is in the studio, and he's taking pictures of Dragonfly's head.
Oh, man, why?
Like
what?
He does
it's a selfie.
Of himself.
It's a selfie. Either way, it's a win. But the best idea is Roy, you sneaking a picture of the back of his head and Sam busting you like that. But I'm not saying that happened. But if that did happen, joy.
So should we just bring him in?
Sure.
Why don't we bring him in? I think we got enough small talk. We're continuing our September of Black Guests, which I call Blacktober. our September of Black Guests. It's Blacktober. Please welcome from one of the funniest shows on television and one of the funniest people I know. I'm honored that you're back on. Roy Wood Jr., everybody.
Blacktober.
Blacktober in September, everybody.
Fair enough. Right. No, it's not February, so it's clearly he's being benevolent. How you been, man?
I am so good. I mean, since we've seen you, you've blown up. Your show's blown up.
I've gotten fatter, too. It's okay.
What? You know what, man? They say once you got that TV money, you get chunky.
Nah,
except for the
that,
Disney though. People. They get more tweaky.
Yeah, more twerky.
They do more of the crystal meth over there.
I thought you meant they
but that
more
TBS
twerky.
Money, boom.
Very money.
Yeah, that's TBS money. But let's not get it twisted. It ain't Fox money.
Okay. It's not Fox money, but
yeah, that's not cocaine.
It's still
money.
It's not cocaine. Was it crack money?
It's like Lamar Odom crack money. Like it's not the quality distilled crack that the real celebs smoke. It's that Lamar Odom make you go crazy in the street crack.
Yeah.
Why is Lamar doing street crack? Why is he doing that high level European crack that the kids are all enjoying?
Keep it real, man. They said he broke, what was it, like 50,000 over 3 years? I did the math. It breaks down to like $50, $60 a day.
That's not bad.
Crack? That's a lot of crack.
That's not bad. I'm on record as saying that's not that bad.
That's a good bargain, but that's not quality top shelf Fiji water crack.
Can you imagine the guy who's giving, like delivering him crack? He's like, well, my A-lister's Lamar, and then the rest of the people.
If Lamar's your number one customer, you're not doing good.
You're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, for a crack dealer, you're doing pretty damn good.
This is Dallas Mavericks failure, Lamar Odom, not Kobe ring winning down in the low with Gasol, Lamar Odom.
It's so great knowing that he was smoking crack and the Mavericks are just like, geez, get out of here. Just fuck up. Because when it happened, you were like, you paid him $10 million. Keep him around. It was like, oh, he's smoking crack. Get him out of here. Fuck him.
I mean, that's what Kardashian will do to you, make you want to smoke crack.
True.
Yeah, that's stressful. I mean, it's a shame. I feel sorry for Khloe. She's like the one Kardashian that I halfway like.
I hear she's nice.
Have some empathy for.
She's a beast, though. I love it. I love how thick she is. I like the big, thick ones.
Calling her a beast.
Yeah,
great.
Beast.
It's that OJ Blackness in her. You know they say that's OJ's kid.
No, I've seen a picture of the guy who probably is her dad. And she
Listen,
exactly
don't get all Mari Povich split screen on me comparing ears and cheeks. The black community says that's OJ's side, baby. That's good enough for me.
I'm with Roy, honestly.
That's what Black Twitter says.
Black Twitter?
Yeah.
What black is Black Twitter?
Black
Twitter?
It's just Twitter? No, not with an A.
That's fucking hilarious.
Black Twitter is just a contingency of minorities that control and influence the trends of social media in this country, Sam, because black people, we're unemployed. We ain't got anything better to do, so we just sit on Twitter all
so
day.
So you're the black 1%. Is that what you're saying?
No, we're more like the 84% somewhere in there.
It's still nice. It's still nice.
Can we just talk about how amazing World Star Hip Hop is? Can we just break that down for a second? Why that website isn't bigger?
First of all, who told you about the site?
Yeah.
Why do you know?
Well, I have Sicilian in me, and I bang a lot of black ass.
You know what? WorldStar is a great place to see some really good hood fights. And it gotten to the point now where they compile them into like one 12-minute video. It's just fights of the
like
week.
Like a retrospective
Nothing's
on the year's
better than black titty popping out. I can all day. I could watch black titties popping out.
Did you see the bus driver punch the chick?
Yeah.
Like, not the Cleveland, but this is a recent new bus driver.
It was a chick, though, bus driver, right?
Yeah, chick versus chick, which is always the best fight.
Oh, yeah. Fair. I can stroke it to that. I can, if you ask me to. Like, it's something like kind of save the world type of thing.
I like picturing the guy. Sam, they won't give us the passcodes unless you masturbate to this World Star Hip Hop video.
Those are my two spots every morning, man. World Star Hip Hop and E-Bombs World. E-Bombs World is good.
E-Bombs
is good for redneck compilations and like the Russian dash cam. Oh my, have you seen this stuff?
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
The best.
Dash cams in Russia where just people just road rage on each other. Every car has a GoPro mounted to the dash.
There's so much fraud in Russia from people like pretending to get hit by cars that everybody has a GoPro on their dash.
Really?
So you could just see these videos of these guys who are just fucking lying. It's gold.
There was a video, a dash cam video of some guy, some motorcycle starts road raging with this dude.
I think did we watch this together? Yeah.
And the guy, the motorcycle swings in front of the guy like, screw you, I'm a motorcycle. I'm going to pass you.
He pulls
you.
A Gwyneth Paltrow. Is that what you're saying? On a Vespa?
Boom, hits the motorcycle. This guy slides 75 yards.
Dude, this guy's bike. So out of GoPro frame.
Here's the beauty. This is the best part of it. The guy hits the motorcyclist on purpose. Gets out, checks his car for damage.
Only. Doesn't even look down the way.
God.
He's like, how bad is it? How about this mine?
Russia's great.
Russia don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's the honey badger country.
They don't give a shit.
Russia ain't messing around with this Syria stuff. Russia's like, look at my friend.
Yeah.
He said he'll bring it over. Chill.
Chill out, bro.
Chill out.
Bro, you know how crazy a country has to be for Russia to be the cool head?
I know, dude.
For Putin to be like, all I want is peace. It's like, what the fuck is going on right now? Did he just say peace?
Right. Where did you start comedy? Where'd you start?
It was a hybrid, Tallahassee and Birmingham. I was still in college down in Tallahassee, man. Shout out to Florida A&M.
Shout out Florida A&M. Shout out.
Shout out to the girls at Florida State who would bang me too.
Now, are they still banging you?
No, and they need to be quiet about having ever banged me because a lot of them have gained weight. I mean, you tell you want to know something that's messed up that chicks do? Like, they'll bang you back in like 97.
Yeah.
And then you pop up on television in 2013 and go, yeah, we was getting it. But they never give a time line of when, so the people hearing it assume that we was getting it a month ago. And I send this chick a Facebook message, and I'm like, Tampa Tony, look, you gotta quit.
You were banging a chick named Tampa Tony? Listen, was she Black Mob?
Listen, you dance with who asked you out on the dance floor back in those days, all right? She was a little rough, but, you know, she's a decent body. But what she should have said was, we used to bang 80 pounds ago. Me and this guy would fuck nonstop, but now
you and this guy in my
now she's just like pulling a bone, like a rib bone, out of her mouth. Like, oh, Roy, yeah, Roy and I still talk.
No. I know Roy.
Roy and I keep in touch.
But
so
yeah,
a time frame or a weight frame is required.
Yeah, man, I was still in college, man. I started stand up, so I just bounced around the South 3 days a week. On
what
the
was your first time like? Like, was there? Oh, was it a bet? Did you always want to do it?
I got arrested.
You got arrested.
Like, real talk. That's what scared me into doing the shit was that I got arrested. I thought I was going to prison. Comedy was on the list. So I was like, all right, let me check this off the list. And then I got probation. So I was like, oh, cool. Well, I can keep doing comedy. And
so you got up. You're like, I got a bucket list. I'm about to do time. Let's crank out as much as we can
get. I had 4 months till sentencing. I was suspended from school. So I had like $8,000. I was working in the campus post office, and we would like take credit cards. And this is like 96, 97. Yeah. So you didn't
about
need
80
all
pounds
this
ago.
Calls. Yeah, 80 pounds ago. You didn't need all of that verification bullshit. Credit cards, when you think about just how crazy the world was.
Yeah, it sounds like the beginning of Mo Money with Damon Wayans.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, literally, credit cards were pre-activated when they sent them to you back in the day.
That's it's just amazing.
Like, you just open them up and go. So I would go buy clothes and sell them on campus for half price, and I got popped for it, and I just thought I was going to prison. Not realizing that if you're 19 and you're still in school and got a decent job at Golden Corral, they're not going to send you up the river. But
what were you doing at Golden Corral?
Were you a
hostess? Dude.
I was a server. Why'd you add an ESS? Like I was a chick or something. Why can't I just be a host or a maitre d' or something? It's Golden Crowns.
Is that racist of me?
It's a classy place. No, it was sexist is what it was. Now, it was that was pretty much the genesis of it all. I got suspended from school. I had $7,000 in financial aid for classes that I couldn't take. So that funded my comedy adventures for the first year. And by the time I got back in college and wrapped up the degree, I already had a year of the road behind me. So I got lucky in that regard because I basically got fronted money to do my first year.
The government basically paid your bills.
Yeah, the government fronted. But my expenses were $300 a month. I had four roommates. So, yeah.
Oh, those are great days.
Oh, total expenses, $500. Once you count cable and bus fare and all that other stupidity.
And Xbox. Back then was what, Sega?
Nah, we were PlayStation 2. No, PlayStation. We were PS1. It's 96, 97. Yeah. PS1, a little Madden 97, $5 a quarter.
It's a hot game.
Oh, yeah. Play it for
who
high
was on
stakes.
The, who got injured on the cover that year?
Dante Culpepper.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man, yeah. That was a while ago.
It was a bad one, too.
Yeah. There was a Vic year.
When did you realize that this is going to pay the bills?
Year six.
What was special about year six?
Somewhere in there. I finally moved out my mom's spot and got a little $550 a month townhouse in Birmingham. Because as I graduated,
you must keep your receipts because you know all the prices.
I remember what I pay in rent in Birmingham because L.A. rent is so ridiculous that I never forget how much space I got for $550 in a decent side of town.
You got like a 40 acres and a mule for $550.
Three slaves and Forrest Whitaker to pour me
Roy,
coffee.
Roy, why are you doing this to us? Shut up, buddy. Don't make this any weirder than it has to be, all right, my man?
And Forrest Whitaker in a butler outfit guilt-tripping me.
Where's
telling
the butler
me about the black race. Now, so you know.
I think I might have to cut Forrest. His eyes wandering. What the fuck is he humming about? This guy's all over the map.
No, I was making decent money as a feature. I was making like $500 a week featuring. I was probably doing another $200 in shitty prank call CD sales. So it was enough to keep me afloat.
Do you own those CDs?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was telling him about it. We were listening to one, and maybe we could play one.
Can we play one
all
of those?
Oh, those are all.
Dude, those. And even if we play one, what's
are you still doing those?
Casually. I'm going to do one last CD just to get it out of my system. I feel like I owe it to the people because the pranks really, I did morning radio while I was doing stand up on the road, and the pranks paid the bills. And, I came up right when, I came up when being considered going viral was meaning that everyone emailed your shit.
Yeah.
So I was like in that email attachment era, and that really, the pranks brought a lot of people to my stand-up, man. So,
do you own the rights to those videos?
To all the prank calls, yeah. All the ones that are on CDs officially, yeah. I had people sign up, paperwork, legal, the whole nine.
Oh, that's awesome.
And what's great about them, because you did radio, like how long did you do radio? Your background, a lot of it's in radio,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, 10, maybe 11 years. So eight as a co-host.
All these calls, no matter how it ends, he always says who he is, and these people just fuck right away. It's like back in the day when Ashton Kutcher would like reveal it was him, right away people are like, "Oh, Roy, you lit," they just love it.
Oh, you got me, baby.
I thought it was Roy.
But 4 seconds earlier, you're blasting me, telling me what a son of a bitch I am. Yeah. But yeah, I just felt like around that time, that's when I felt like, wow, I'm paying my bills and I'm only doing
comedy.
What
a great feeling that is, right?
And I wasn't shit. I didn't have a TV credit, but I was on the road 20 days a month, me and my Ford Focus at that point, and It was exciting, man. I don't know how I became so bitter and angry now. But
why are you bitter? Why is the only one on the cast of Sullivan & Son seems like he's having fun is Owen Benjamin. Every time I see him at a Met, I mean, the guy is swimming in it, drowning in his liquor.
Roy
the guy
is not
is
bitter.
So angry.
Roy is not bitter. Roy is amazingly level. He's the man.
I'm focused. Like I just don't get excited about stuff, so everybody thinks something's wrong with me. But
he also on the road. He has like he basically brings like a satellite radio division with him. Like he's just got his little setup in his room. Of like,
oh yeah, I'm like a hacker. Like I can set up anywhere in like 20 minutes, and yeah, we're going live. It's Satcom Uplink is live. If we have internet, we are ready to go. I still do radio stuff in Atlanta as well right now. So it's for me.
Seems like it's all working out.
But it might not tomorrow. Like my biggest fear is becoming one of these guys that's, and God bless him. And I don't say this in disrespect, but I don't want to be 20 years in still working for $1,000 a week and missing whatever life moments or family or worse, never have one. So the fear of that keeps me working and keeps me grinding, which prevents me from enjoying anything or stopping and resting or taking a break. Like, I look at Steve Harvey. This motherfucker, man.
Dude.
Motherfucker is like 55 or some shit. He does a morning radio show for 4 hours. Then he does Family Feud for like 5 months straight. Then he does his talk show for the next 5 months. And I'm like, yeah, I could see myself still just grinding like that, because in the back of my head, this something's going to happen and it's going to all fucking go to shit. And I don't
want to look up, dude.
Be broke, man.
You work hard.
So that fear, it's like how they say the light at the end of the tunnel. To me, the light at the end of my tunnel is the train coming up behind me to run me over. So I just run faster.
And you are
darkness.
Fast. You got Twitch fiber.
Yeah, yeah. You know, slavery did that to us, and we thank you guys.
Yeah. I mean, that all works out, dude.
In the long run, as a white person, bullshit on us. That's not unfair. How dare you?
I don't
you.
Know. White people are making a comeback. There was a lot of
Why
good white
Why are we making a comeback?
Did you watch football this Sunday? There's a lot of good white boys out there, man, putting up some good
running
fantasy.
Backs. White running backs are making
no,
a comeback.
Not white running backs. You had one. You had Peyton Hillis in Cleveland 3 years ago. First white 1,000-yard rusher in like a decade
three
and a half.
3 years ago,
since Black and White
started,
film.
He started getting mouthy, and you know the NAACP. We took
his
Twitch
he
fiber.
Did. That's yeah.
We took his rush card.
Well, yeah, his rush card. But yeah, man, there was I don't want to, this isn't a sports talk show, but there was a lot of good
white receivers. We just had a Clipper talk show. Do you think we talk about anything?
We talked about a Dallas Maverick smoking crack. I don't think that qualifies as sports
talk.
That's
true. That's true.
That's crack talk.
Can we load those in? Were we able to load any? Mm-hmm. Which one should we play?
Suggestions. Let's go with Emmett's uncle. I think that's a good one.
While they're loading it up, let's talk. Yeah, can you you want to give it to him?
Well, can we both hear it?
I don't need to hear it. I did it. Right. You know, it's pretty simple. I called a lady and told her daughter was trying to bang my son.
Tell me when
son.
It's ready. Let me ask you.
Somewhere
you got
YouTube.
Renewed for a third season. How exciting is that? Where'd you meet Steve Byrne? Did you know Steve Byrne from before? Did you go into the audition and just get casted?
I came across Steve twice at the Montreal Comedy Festival back in 06. And then he and I, we taped the same season of Star Search when CBS did that reboot with Arsenio.
I remember that.
We taped different episodes on the same day. So we crossed paths there on the studio lot. And Steve did something that just earned my respect, but they told him not to do a particular joke. Mm-hmm. And he did the joke anyway. And it was like it was a physical joke with, you know, some physical sexual innuendo. Mm-hmm. And the producers had the cameras
zoom
all the
Bruce
way in.
Bruce Lee?
Yeah, Bruce Lee playing with a girl's clit with his foot. Like, whoa, whatever. Like the Karate Kid crane stance.
Best closers ever.
Oh, absolutely. They zoom in into pores on his face to keep from showing the foot motion. And I was in the back just howling. And from that point on, I was like, that dude has my respect. He got like 2 stars out of 20. But from that point on, I was like, dude, we got to kick it. And that's just how it rolled, man. I'm happy for Steve. I'm happy that – I'm more happy for stand-up comedy as well, man, because there's not a lot of shows with a true stand-up as a lead anymore. That went away for a long time.
Do you think that's coming back?
It seems to be. I mean, you know, they tried it. You know, there were a couple of pilots that didn't go that I hope still, you know, get recycled and come back through. Like, you know, Jim Gaffigan, I think his situation with CBS is still pending. John Mulaney, who's a true stand-up, NBC didn't go with his. My man Tommy Jonigan had a similar situation. So at least they're fishing for comics again.
Yeah.
And, you know, five years ago, that wasn't happening, man. You know, the Improv Boys and the everybody that's just regular comedic actors, and you got film actors coming back to television, it just made it way more competitive, because once comedy went into like the single cam 30 Rock Parks and Rec style stuff, you didn't have to have a comedian as the lead, and the network figured that out real fast, man.
But so they all like didn't do well.
Yeah, most of them didn't. I mean, there's a few that are still on that have comics as part of the cast, but very few that are leads. I think we could say with Joel McHale, with Community.
Yeah. But he really
but it's
got
more ensemble-y.
That. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. But
all right.
There are not.
It's,
well,
it's not like the old days where it's Raymond and Kevin James and Seinfeld.
Right,
like,
Roseanne.
Yeah.
There was a huge. Yeah. Most of the
Tim
90s.
Allen. Everybody was a true stand-up of 15, 20 year, like, straight beast mode level stand-ups. And
beast
now,
mode.
Yeah, like, these guys were just amazing.
So we have this clip. What can you tell us about this clip?
It's called Emmett's Uncle. This is off of... it doesn't matter what it's off of.
The one where you're holding the payphone.
It's on the internet, yeah.
Was this still
He's
when
got
pay
a bunch
phones
of-
were around?
Yeah, that was like the whole "I'm calling you from anywhere" stupid headshot shit. That he,
He's got a lot of prank calls. People should listen to him.
I call a lady and tell her that her daughter's banging my nephew, and I don't appreciate it. We don't have to play the whole thing, man. Let's just run a good minute and a half so these people can all get right. an idea of the ignorance that I bring out in other Black Americans.
Hey, you ready? Yo, DJ playing my cousin prank calls. If you ain't giving them credit, yo, oh, yeah, this is like a pregnant. Morgan Freeman.
Random shout out to big kids, dude.
Me with Danny Lovell.
RoyWoodJr.com.
Hello?
Hey, let me speak to Mary.
This Mary.
This is Leo Devlin, baby. I'm Emmett Uncle. The boy that's dating your daughter.
Yeah, what's up?
Laquanda, yeah. You need to come. You need to go. You need to call your daughter and talk to her.
Well, where's my daughter at?
She back there at my brother's house now. She get to talking to me. I almost had to hit her ass. I had to leave him cool off, baby. Now, you need
well,
to
what's she talking shit to you for?
You need to raise your daughter better. I come over there to visit Emmett. And yeah. Your daughter all up in there with her leg all up against the boy. Lay on the couch. You know, and I asked your daughter. I told her ass. I said, look, you need to get your leg up off my nephew there. That's just not polite. That's not ladylike in front of folk. And your daughter, you know, she got on this little tight black sweatsuit or whatever, and she got this all unzipped down in the front and the breast meat coming all out the front. And I'd say, young lady, could you zip that up? And she going to tell me to mind my business. And that's when I almost had to go off on her ass, because I told him about bringing these skeezers in off the street.
Now, how did you get my number and how did you get my name?
Well, baby, I got all that from her, because I told her I was going to call you and give you some straightening, too, before I give her some straightening. That's why I had to leave the house.
No, let me give you some straightening. If you hold on a minute, my daughter is far from being a skeezer. I don't know who Emmett is and who you are.
That's who they started dating.
What you say your name is?
My name, Leo Devlin. Get it right.
Leo Devlin. Don't you never call here no motherfucking mo.
Baby, don't you hang up on me.
It's nothing but a respectable young lady. Understand?
Baby, she got her hair cut like a lesbian, too. I told her that.
Don't make me whoever you are fuck you up now.
Baby, don't get
on my line.
Your daughter's a skeezer and all them other ones, too. A Bassin and a Crumber and Mayia. Whatever them little names is, you got all them kids. Is they all by the same?
Yes, they all are by the same man, Leo. Leo, you done fucked up when you fuck with my children, understand?
Well, baby, you get
whatever
your...
Whatever the fuck Emmett else you got to say.
Well, look,
but don't say a motherfucking thing about my children, understand?
It ain't my fault you raised a skeezer.
Your mama had a skeezer, and you're a skeezer man.
Your daughter was bent over the arm of that couch. I bet you that much.
I bet you she wasn't.
I bet you she wasn't bent 50.
You got the wrong family.
I got the pictures, nigga.
You the damn lie. You don't got nothing.
I got
my
the pictures.
My daughter ain't like that. My daughter just graduated from college, fool.
That don't mean nothing. That don't mean nothing. I'm thinking she's going to they're talking about she started her new job on Monday. I said, where, at the chicken place?
Man, don't do that. You know, you kind of upset me because I'm just going to have to find you and fuck you.
That's the gist of it.
Oh,
so
my
that's,
God.
That's what it is. That's,
that was awesome.
He gets they're giving you applause in the first.
Oh, thank you, production.
Production
so
he
loves
gets
you.
Him so fucking mad.
I did that. 5 days a week for 8 years straight on Birmingham Morning Radio and just compiled so many pranks. I just started dumping them down onto CDs to sell just to make ends meet on the road. And they started going viral, so I actually had to, like, put out a official CD, you know, something with a UPC symbol or whatever. So I did three albums. That one was off I'll Slap You to Sleep. But all of you download.
Slap You to Sleep.
That's the name of the app. All that shit you can download for free off my website. Half that stuff is just there for people to take at this point. I don't feel right charging people for something. I put that out in 07. Like, you know, stop paying for it. It's just there. Go.
You ever
get
see
it.
Yourself going back to Alabama?
No.
Or do you like L.A.?
No, I'm L.A. 10 toes down now. I went home a year ago to host the radio show that I used to co-host. Mm-hmm. Got cast in Sullivan and Son. They got pissed and fired me.
What?
Rather than, I don't know, let me stay on national television and then double that with the fact that I'm still on the radio and, I don't know, maybe build that for syndication like a guy named Steve Harvey.
You're not angry.
There's that name again, Roy.
I'm not mad at all, man.
Why weren't they thinking?
That's
why
so
did you go to their
stupid.
Competition?
That was just the pilot, right? So they were kind of just being like...
No, we were picked up. Picked up. Season one had just finished, and when we got renewed for season two, they were like, gone. See ya.
Get the fuck out of here.
The whole time we were in production for season one, I was going back and forth to Birmingham. I was in production for 3 weeks here, and I would do the show on the satellite box setup that he was talking about. I'd set up my Born Identity remote computer hacker shit. I do the show from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m.
When is the movie coming out where the white hackers won't let the black hackers join the hacking group? When is that movie coming out?
It's called Hack Panther.
Hack Panther.
Hack Panther. Pow. So, yeah, that's what I did, man. And, you know, and I love it, but it's just you got to be careful as a comic to not get pigeonholed into one thing, which is why I'm going to put out a prank call CD. I'm going to put out a stand-up CD this year, and then I'll do a prank CD, you know, by the end of this year or the front end of January. And then after that, I'm done with the prank calls. The other problem with it now is that, man, I'm old, man. Like, I listen to some of that shit now, and I'm like, I can't believe I was saying that stuff. Like, and it's funny. But
why? Because it's like, so you don't
dirty?
Think it's funny
is
or
it
it's
not
dirty?
You or?
It's, maybe it's born in me because I've done like over 600-700 of them, so maybe there's an element of that to it, but it's like I could never bring myself to like something like I call old black people. Like I called an 84-year-old black lady. This one, you can YouTube, but it's called Baltimore Eviction. I called an 84-year-old black lady and like threatened to murder her and like just, and it was funny. But in my head now, I'm thinking lawsuit.
It's like, well, it's a different time.
Got shit to lose. So now I got to tread softly through the verbal minefield, and that's not funny.
How did you research who you were calling? Because you seem to know a lot of details about that.
Oh,
lady.
Yeah. 80 to 90% of every prank call I did was set up by a relative. And that's the other thing that smoothed it out on the back end when I go, hey, your cousin told me to call you. Hey, your sister told me to call you. So that's kind of where it got to be a little bit of a better...
They're more
out.
Relieved. They're not like, what's your fucking problem? You're like, she set me up. She told me to do this.
Nah,
did it ever go bad?
One or two. I had a guy in Cleveland actually buy a ticket to my show. His son got suspended for jacking off in class.
Whoa!
Like second grader, which is just a bold move.
Oh, yeah. That's all in.
Move that kid to fifth grade.
And really, I mean, when you're jacking off on a middle school level in the second grade, you're a prodigy.
You're a prodigy.
You're definitely
a prodigy.
You're the
Kobe. You're ready for the big one.
Yeah. Got to get this kid out. He's clearly gifted.
He's jacking off at a sixth grade level. So you guys should be really happy about that.
So I called the dude, and I told him that his son was teaching my son how to jack off. And I told him to meet me at the school. You know, meet me at the school, motherfucker. Blah, blah, blah. He hangs up and starts driving towards the school.
Oh, my God.
And so by the time I get him back on the phone, he's, like, in the school parking lot. Like, why are we waiting for you? You was going to get me arrested. I was going to that school and show my ass. So it could have gone. That dude could have gotten arrested for that.
Like, right.
Legitimately walked in the school right. building. Where's that motherfucker jacking off? Like,
teach my son's going to teach his son to jack off over my dead body. And then again, they're the jack-off family.
Yeah, exactly. So 3 weeks later, I'm performing in Cleveland, and that dude comes to the show, and he sits up front, doesn't laugh the whole night. I just thought it was a guy who didn't think I was funny. After the show, he just comes up and goes, just so you know, I could get this close to you if I wanted.
Oh,
and he just walks
God.
Off.
That's scary.
Walks Jesus. Off. I sent him like a $50 Visa gift card.
You sent him the prank call
pre-approved.
CD.
Like a some please don't murder me gift. Like, hey, man, listen, I'm
that
sorry.
That is crazy.
Hey, man. Yeah. Hey, go to the Home Depot. Get $50 on me. No more murdering, huh?
No more murder.
The best ones. The best
roll on the murders.
The best prank calls to do are the ones that aren't set up, though, man. Like, well, you can call a business. Because most businesses can't hang up in your face. So they have to entertain whatever bullshit you serve up to them. And that's just beautiful when you have a hostage audience. I called a cruise ship company. Again, this one is on YouTube. Download it off my website. I called a cruise ship company. I told them that my granddaddy left his wallet on the slave ship when he came from Africa.
Oh, my God.
And I wanted them to check lost and found. The lady tried to help me find the ship. You could wallet on the slave ship is the prank. It's on YouTube. Literally, the lady is on the phone.
Can we hear that?
It's there. It's on YouTube.
That's
they
funny.
Dig
can we hear that? I need to hear that.
Sir, what ship were you on? And I had an African accent. As I'm Dr. Azibo, a big brown slave ship. We were on the slave ship from Africa. And the lady is like, sir, I don't know what ship. And then she transfers me to a black woman.
So she's white, that first lady.
First,
that's the
first
best
person's
part.
White.
Just because she doesn't want to be like, there's no slave ships.
Yeah. So she transfers me to a black woman. You know she.
Yeah, she was like.
You know she was in the call center like, listen, you got to take this
holding
one.
Holding up a sign that said, help black, help black.
You've got to take this
one. All right,
one.
What's the name of this clip?
This one's called Wallet on the Slave Ship.
Wallet on the Slave Ship.
Free download on RoywoodJr.com.
Free download on RoywoodJr.com, suckers.
RoywoodJr.com.
Good morning, Cruise Consultant. How may I help you?
Hello, hello, yes, ma'am. How do you do this month?
Fine, thank you.
Good. This is Dr. Sidman Azibo. I tried to find out from you because my wife, she righted the boat, the cruise boat, and she leaves some clothes on the boat, and they find the clothes for her.
Okay, you were on the cruise and you lost your bag?
Yes, ma'am. We leave. Well, no, not bag, not bag. And it was. We leave our wallet on the slave ship when we come here from Africa. And my great grandfather leave his wallet, and I try to find out if.
Okay,
somebody...
you left your wallet on the ship? On which ship?
The slave ship when we come from the Africa, and I try to find out if there's someone turned it into the lost and found.
What ship are you on?
The cruise. We come from the Africa long time ago. He leave his wallet, and him leave his Billy Ocean CD. Because he was listening to Billy Ocean.
Okay, he left his Billy Ocean CD on the ship. What ship was he on?
The slave ship. I do not know where it lands. I do not know. Because
what ship?
The American wife, they just bring us here, man. We do not know where we land. They just bring us to the American.
I know, but what ship are you talking about?
The slave ship. The brown, big brown slave ship.
The big brown slave ship?
Yes, ma'am. We're on the slave ship.
I can't help you. I don't know anything about that. This is cruise line that
yes,
you call
yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Cruise line was in charge of the slave ships. I read the history books, and that is what it said. It said that the slave ships were booked by...
This is reservation.
Yes, ma'am, but I tried to find out if someone leave that on the slave ship and leave it a lost and found for 400 years. For,
okay, can you hold on a moment?
Ma'am, do not raise voice to me, ma'am.
Good fun.
From so many
she just
places.
Puts me on hold.
Thanks for holding.
This music.
You just know how kids are, right?
Black chick.
Hello, yes, ma'am. How do you do?
Oh, God. I'm doing good. What can I help you with?
Someone, I'm looking for my Hammer's Greatest Hit CD.
Uh-huh.
We leave that on the slave ship when we come from the Africa.
Okay.
And it says, please, Hammer, don't hurt them. And Hammer, I am. Hammer.
And instantly, they can
right
fade
away.
It out right there.
Right away.
Instantly, Hammer. The black chick knew it was a joke.
Because she...
Instantly.
She can. It's the one imagine. If like it was real, there's like that 0.001% in that white woman's head that's like, just look for the wallet. Look for the fucking wallet.
I will fill out lost and found report. So yeah, those are much more fun.
Oh my God.
I have no idea who that lady is. I've never met her and never got a chance to tell her that I was just
joking. Yeah. She's probably in the water right now. Like, it's a big brown ship. I don't know. And that the Hammer or Billy Ocean help.
Slave ship, where is it?
She's in Africa. Like, I'm looking for a slave ship.
You know, they talked about that one a million times
at
the break room.
Oh, yeah.
You
know
here what? It is. For sure. I was hanging out, and someone calls, and like, they're looking for a wallet on a slave ship. I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah.
That's probably like, audio for the training seminar. This is how you handle any cold. This is the composure that she and they fired the black chick for giggling.
Yeah. That's totally
racist.
True.
She's insensitive.
Okay, so we feel like it was kind of racist for you to laugh at that.
We were monitoring your call station last Thursday.
And a astute African slave actually called in and
we just think that was unbecoming.
The way
of
Grace
you.
Handled it is what we want, okay?
Now, we've had a bunch of comedians on the show, and we always ask them, like, what is the craziest gig, like, the biggest hell gig you've ever done? I mean, because you must have done, coming from Alabama, I mean, all the way to Los Angeles, you've had to play some hilariously weird gigs.
Gareth, did I ever tell you the story about the show I did for the Dope Boys? The Dope Show?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, that's probably the best one, because that was the one where I thought I was going to, like, get murdered. Like
those are always the fun shows.
Well, no, like, it's not even a joke. Like, I legitimately thought that I was going to
get
murdered.
I'm
going to
die tonight.
Over a $75 gig. Like, that's all I was supposed to get paid. So, Dothan, Alabama, and I know they're not listening.
What do you mean? Playboy Radio isn't in Alabama yet?
The internet is not in Alabama. So.
It's in some areas.
It's barely trickling in.
So Dothan, Alabama, we do a show for some dope boys, and this is like 3-4 years in, so I'm still kind of Chitlin' Circuit, half and half between that and mainstream.
What is the Chitlin' Circuit for our listeners who
Chitlin'
don't know?
The Chitlin' Circuit is black run rooms where, you know, it's kind of off the beaten path, it's off the radar, it appeals to the black customer and the black dollar, and it's, you know, pretty much all black anything. No different than, like, some old cotton club shit from the 20s and 30s, like, it's just... For us, it ain't for y'all.
Now, there's some people who just play the Chitlin' Circuit and are just destroyers.
Oh, yeah. There's guys who mainstream America will never hear of who clean up. They make 6 digits a year performing in spots that probably don't even have a website half the time. But the black community and the black populace in those areas, they know about it. It's word of mouth, and it's packed out every weekend. And it's a lot of money to be made in those places, but for me, I never wanted to just do Chitlin' only because I knew that it's tougher to get exposure and expand from that. Plus, my comedy does, like, I do just well enough with all black, straight up, like, hood crowds. I know what my comedy is, and I know it how it plays against the expectations of certain audiences. And there's a Hennessy to tattoo ratio that I have to work out when I scan the room. And, like, for every 3 people drinking Hennessy, over 2 tattoos exposed tattoos. We're not talking this hidden ankle,
not
shoulder blade.
Tramp stamps.
No,
right.
We're
yeah.
talking teardrops and neck full
oh,
blown.
Shit. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
That guy doesn't want to hear my joke about analyzing why McDonald's McRib commercial is an inconsistent. He doesn't care. And I know that. But for the material I did all right, and it was stage time, so I took the gig. So this is what dope boys do down south. They may do it everywhere else, but down south, let's say you're a drug dealer, and you got your good drug enterprise going, and you get busted by the cops. They take your money, they take your drugs. You're trying to restart your empire, but you need front money. Nobody will give you front money because you just got arrested. They think you're a snitch, you're radioactive. Mm-hmm. So these guys would put together comedy and music shows and pre-sale tickets. And they would promote the show a month out, pre-sale tickets, take the pre-sale money, use that to resupply their drugs, to resupply themselves with new drugs to sell, sell the drugs, take the profits, have the concert, pay the artists.
Yeah.
It's a pretty effective, I mean, realistically, it's not a bad idea to get yourself back in the game.
It's a weird pyramid scheme, almost in a weird
way.
You're
kiting the money from one
yeah,
bucket
taking
to the
from
next.
Here to go over there.
But it's not, it's a flawless plan for as long as you sell the dope.
Right.
Right.
So these guys pre-sell tickets, and it's like a $20 ticket or whatever, and they cop half a kilo. And we, by the time the show comes 3-4 weeks later, they haven't sold the drugs.
Oh, no.
So now you have a venue full of people expecting a show, and you have comedians expecting to be paid. You don't have money to pay the artist. You don't have money to refund the crowd. But you can't rip off the crowd because then they'll never support the next thing you pre-sell tickets for.
Right, right, right.
So the next time you get arrested, you're fucked. And then you're really screwed. So 10 minutes before showtime, the dope boys come in, and this dude, he goes, hey, man, look, check it. Shit, bruh. We ain't even got your Skrilla. But check this, man. Just go on, do the show. Do what you do. And we going to flip that money 2 ways. We going to pay you double what we was going to give you tonight. We just got to pay you next Tuesday. Motherfucker's supposed to come up from Gainesville. Let me know if you need me to translate.
I got most of this.
No, go ahead.
Motherfucker's supposed to drive up from Gainesville, cop a quarter key. Motherfucker can't come till next Tuesday. Then come next Tuesday, we get that, flip that white. We get you Western Union, that shit to you. And how do you trust a drug dealer, right?
Right.
It's like, I don't know. And everybody, and all the comics, we're all, I don't know. I'll do it if you do it. You know, I only got $75 on the line, but some of these guys are supposed to get $1,500. So this is like a serious decision.
Yeah.
So Tiger leaves the room.
Tiger.
Yeah. Tiger leaves the room.
Is that the drug dealer?
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the boys. Tiger leaves the room. Tiger comes back in. He goes, all right, check this. Check this. I bet. Just do this then, man. Y'all motherfuckers think we ain't good for the money. Our name rang out. We ain't never fucked nobody over. We just down and out this one time. If y'all fuck niggas ain't going to do this one fucking favor for. And he's getting, like, angry with us.
Yeah.
Like, legitimate.
Again, his name, Tiger. So.
And I'm talking guns on the table. These are fucking dope boys. Like, right. This is for real. Like, it's. You're backstage
right.
at an American Legion
right.
on a
right.
Tuesday
oh,
night.
God. Right.
And this dude's guns and shit out. Man, look, if y'all fuck niggas ain't gonna fucking just let us do this, man. If you don't wanna wait on your money, go on out back, holler at Oak. Oak will paint you a little bit off the brick. You can take that shit, flip
oh
it yourself.
God.
You can make triple what we was going to pay you, motherfucker. So whatever we was going to give you, we going to give you triple that in white. Shit, you can cut that shit. So,
oh, my God.
This is like a negotiation.
Yeah, now I'm a dealer. I got to leave yeah. with a quarter ounce because you don't have my $75. Hey, dude.
Oh, man.
And so the headliner stands up. He goes, man, you just need to go get our money.
Oh.
And Tiger gets up and walks across the room. And fucking slaps a clip into a fucking Glock.
Oh, my God.
And he go, motherfucker, I think you just need to go do my motherfucking show. And I'll pay your ass when I pay your ass. To which I go, where's Oak? Because I'm going to go get my dope.
Oh, my God.
So I leave the room, and I go outside to holler at Oak. And Oak assumes I'm coming over to get the dope. I go, hey, man, I'll be right back, man. I just got to go get my money. I got to get something out the car real quick. And I got my fucking car and I left. I left. I didn't answer my phone for 2 days. Like,
was it just ringing?
I turned it off. I turned my phone off, dude. And the only place I went was to the radio station and home. Because out of everybody in Birmingham, out of all the comedians, I'm the easiest one to find. Because I'm at the fucking radio station every morning from 6 to 10. So all you got to do is stalk the parking lot.
Right.
And I legitimately thought those dudes were going to come and murder me because I walked out of doing a show for them and fucked them out of their money. But as it turns out, three of the other guys did the show, and they got paid double via Western Union a week later. I'd be damn, Tiger fucking kept his word. So if you ever in Dothan.
That's
you ever meet Tiger, trust him.
Yeah, you ever meet a dude down in Dothan, Alabama named Tiger,
the
trust
second
me.
Time he comes back, he's like, we'll get you the money when we'll get you. The first time it's next Tuesday. The
yeah.
second time it's like... All right, there's no promises. How about that?
But when you look at Tiger's situation, he had to make a power move to ensure the safety of his reputation with the local clientele.
Sounds like he did that.
So he basically threatened all of the comics into...
That's how, honestly, entertainment used to be. Used to be illegal crime organizations funding everything. Mm-hmm. And let me just say, the entertainment was so much better.
Better days.
Dude, I just watched a special on, I think it was History Channel, about the mob versus the Klan. And they were talking about how when Prohibition started, like when the mob took control of alcohol, they basically controlled all of the entertainment juke joints in the country. Like you couldn't perform. If you were a musician and you needed somewhere to perform, you had to go to where there was alcohol. So the mob was in charge of booking everything.
We've said 1,000 times on this show, you know corporate America is bad when they say Vegas and the music industry was better when it was ran by the mob.
Yeah.
Just think about that. It wasn't about like fabricating stuff. It's like, who's entertaining? You're going to work for us. We're going to put you out. Don't be disrespectful.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, it's even shadier, man. Vegas used to be a lot of fun. Now it's too corporate, you know?
Yeah, there's a weirdness to it, but like that was the last show that I did. Anywhere weird, where like that was like the one. I mean, you can talk hell gigs all day about, oh, I almost got booed, or
yeah, which sometimes are good stories, but then you came in and kicked the doors off of.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Nice. I mean, I've been booed on stage, but it's nothing like some putting a clip in.
Put a clip in a gun. You're basically saying that either I do this show or you're gonna kill me.
The question and we all want to know, Roy, is: do you and Tiger keep in touch?
Is he following you on Twitter? Did you ever prank call him?
I am hoping that Tiger is somewhere locked up in a correctional facility. I just hope to watch an episode.
Just watching an episode.
A lockdown?
Yeah.
You're watching Locked Up Abroad, and they're watching Sullivan and Son on Locked Up Abroad.
We meet this other prisoner, a.k.a. Tiger, who's in for 20 years. Yeah, man, I used to run a comedy racket, man. These foot niggas from Birmingham come down, do the show. Nigga Oak was out back. I told Oak, go get the pistol. We had to put a pistol to motherfucker's head. He didn't want to do the show. That's why I've been in this bitch 18 years.
Holy shit.
So what's the plan, bro? I mean, you're kicking ass. You got, I mean, like, you're on a great show. It's getting great numbers. I mean, it's getting great numbers. And it's so interesting because the numbers they get compared to the press they get is so interesting because there's shows on, like, Comedy Central who get, like, half the numbers.
Less than.
Yeah. Less than half, yeah. Yet they're everywhere.
Cumulatively more than, you know, I could name four or five shows that are popular that if you added them all together, we get more ratings than them.
And right? It's right. So weird. What is that?
But I just think it just falls into, you know, what the critics prefer. And it's not a knock on some of those shows. I watch a lot of stuff, man. And I think a lot of that shit out there is funny. I just think it boils down to whether or not the critics like you. The critics are in charge of the press. The media. So if so-and-so who writes whatever article who dictates the what should get exposure, if he doesn't like us, then we're not going to get a write-up. We didn't. I could name 10 publications that looked over us when it came time to promote summer. Here's the summer shows. Mm-hmm. We weren't even mentioned. Not even a blurb in the back, font size 3. Nothing. And that's fine because the people with televisions who sit in middle America, they don't give a fuck.
They don't. They I mean, the critics are almost watch. Like irrelevant at this point.
That's probably the biggest thing that I've learned from this journey on Sullivan and Son is that, you know, as a comic, you try so hard to be liked and accepted and all this shit. And when it just boils down to if there are people out there who like what you do, then you serve those people and you will always work. That's it. So who cares if so-and-so doesn't want to do a review or a presser or a nice 4-panel fold-out special edition? You know, all right, fine. But I know when we go out on the road and we tour, the comedy club is filled with people who love what we do, and that's enough for me.
And so, the rating that helps the ratings too. They get to go to any city.
It's
the
a
four
brilliant
of them,
idea. I don't know if anyone did it before Steve Byrne, but that's a brilliant idea.
Probably not in the past decade. Who could go out? Who had enough comics on the cast?
Yeah. That's a brilliant idea, man.
I mean, I love Breaking Bad, but I'm pretty sure it's not going
to
be a comedy tour.
Love to
that. That would be funny.
The
though.
Walking Dead comedy to hilarious. See Rick Grimes.
People wouldn't
Don't
be able to
you hate
that.
Brains? When they yeah, brains eat them.
So,
tip waiter.
Are you single?
Yeah. You know what? Speaking of
how's
that,
that
man,
going?
It's I just work, man. I don't really think much about it right now. Like with Sullivan, and using the 6 months that I'm away from it. To really try and grow as a comic and like capitalize on opportunities. So, and that I'm a bit of a workaholic and I'm a control freak. So I have to be over people's shoulders to edit and just do other stuff.
No,
so,
dude, that's the way you do it. You got to control. You got to, you know, it's your name on the line. So you got to control what you do.
You know, the most frustrating thing about being single now, and this is something I shouldn't even share with you, but
about peeing fire.
Thankfully, we don't have, but we got a chick in the room so she can help.
She's a black lesbian.
She can still help. So, single now. I sent my first dick picture in years. Little rusty.
Your like, dick or okay. Your style?
Though the picture, like okay. Framing it. Like it was like the ninth picture before I finally got one.
Oh, you're and, doing angles?
Yeah. Well, you're trying to get the right angle for the right. It's like you want to make it look, you know,
bigger.
You're trying to upsell the product,
right? You're trying to get repeat business.
Yeah, and I couldn't fucking. So I've been dealing with that. It's just trying to figure out, you know, a bit more efficient way of camera. My phone's old. Like, the new iPhone just came out today, and, like, all I could think about when they were, like, talking about all the features and cameras and megapixels, I'm like, that probably takes amazing dick pictures, this Android.
They'll advertise that soon.
Sapphire. You get sent a lot of dick pics. What's the key to a quality dick pic as a woman?
It's funny. I was just talking about
this
the other
day. Hold on. Can you give her your headphones? Yeah. Can you give him your headphones so he can hear what she's saying?
I was just talking about this the other day, and I have to say, it's all about the angles. Get your damn kid out of the photo.
Who's taking dick pics with their kids in the room?
I shit you not.
It might just
there
be
are men.
Sperm.
What
really
dude does that?
There are several men and women that are doing it. It's disgusting.
I've seen the women
it's
take
disgusting.
Titty shots with the kid in the background.
Yes.
Why are you
guys.
Taking pictures of your titties or your dick if you're training your dick and your titties? at the same fucking time with kids in the room.
Because they feel like the kids aren't in the room. But it's all about the angles. And please, just put some of that cocoa butter to the dick. No ashiness.
No, nobody wants
no
ash.
Ash.
On that.
Like the no dryness.
Nobody wants ashy dick. Can we get that as a ringtone? Nobody wants no ashy dick.
I sent the picture. The first thing she replies with is your bed made? And I'm like, fuck you.
What the fuck?
What does that even matter?
That's fucked up.
So that now I got to work on the background of my dick pics. That's I got
to
have a
now
candle.
Now you have the ambiance in your fucking dick pics?
I have a really good dick pic guy, Roy. I'll give you his info. He's the best.
Thanks.
I got a great dick pic guy.
You know what I don't like, though? You ever get the titty pic? Like, it's like blatantly like 10, 11 o'clock at night. But the titty pic is clearly from the afternoon.
Dude.
Don't you fucking do that, women.
Bingo.
Give us a new pic.
I want a fresh titty pic. What is this afternoon matinee
titty? I don't want Getty Image stock photo of your fucking tits.
I'm with you, ma'am. I'm with you. Roy Wood Jr., RoyWoodJr.com, suckers. One of the funniest guys I know. I'm really happy you came on the show. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, man. This is a blast.
We'd
dude.
Love to put anytime you got anything you want to push, please come on our show.
The new stand-up album, Things I Think When I Drink. Look for it in November.
All right, man. Vicky?
Go on allthingscomedy.com. You'll find us there. Go on naughtyshow.net. You can get
join
a link to our merch.
Get some.
Yeah, join it. Comment. Hit the merch button. Buy a t-shirt.
Buy a t-shirt. All right, guys. Great show. Roy, again, you were phenomenal.
Good times,
man. And we'll see you next week, everybody. Take
care. No ashy dicks.
No ashy dicks. PlayboyRadio.com.
Going out back, holla at Oak.